more, as you see back there highlighted in red. I'll be doing a Lenten study for 6 weeks, and we're going to be going through the 7 miracles found in the Gospel of John and why John chose those 7 miracles to tell about Jesus instead of all of the others that the other Gospels do. And there are specific reasons. So come join me. It's going to be in the large conference room downstairs. And we'll go through those, and we'll have a good time doing it. And we'll kind of probe deeper into the mind of John and the miracles of Jesus. Look on the back, and you'll see a lot of other stuff going on in Life for Church. We are a busy church, but you can get plugged in just about anywhere your heart desires, just hoping that you have a desirous heart. I'd like for everyone to please stand. Find somebody you don't know and pass the peace of Christ.
This is Brian Cross, B-R-I-A-N, Cross. Mark Rival, which is also hard to spell. I'll let you work on that. Jay Greenfield, and my name's Baxter Curtis. I actually, Robert Hall is my name. And it's a treat to be with you. We're going to treat you so many different ways, you're bound to like one of them. So sing, sit down, stand up, take a walk, whatever you want to do. It's no rules, okay? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want. In the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see. Lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. Good work. I missed a chord or two there, but I'll get warmed up in a minute. Don't tell anybody. All right. This is kind of a interesting song. At the end, half of y'all sing with Brian, and half of y'all sing with me, okay?
How great is our God. the Spirit, Son. Lion and the Lamb.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God.
When the night has gone, when the land is dark, and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid, no, I won't be afraid, just as long as you stay.
A backflip, wasn't it?
How are y'all? Are you good? Okay, so the question of today is, have you ever been asked to do something by your parents or your teachers that you've never done before? At school, the teacher shows you how to write and how to do math problems and then asks you to do them like you were shown. And parents show us how to do chores like making your bed or washing the dishes or taking out the trash. You do? Did daddy show you how? He didn't just say make your bed and not give you a clue on how to do that, did he? He did? Well, that's kind of tough. Tough love. You make your bed. Okay, so we've got all these. We all have to be shown how to do something first, don't we? Today, Pastor Doug is going to talk about Joshua and how God trained Joshua for 40 years before he led the nation of Israel. That is a long, long time to be in training. And do you think he made a mistake or two? Do we make mistakes? He fell down? That's a mistake. That's okay. We all make mistakes. So, where am I? But just like our parents and teachers, God didn't give up on Joshua and even told him to be strong and courageous because he was never going to leave him alone, that he would always help him. So today, remember, God is not going to leave you alone. He will always be with you, even if you make a mistake, because God is very understanding and ready to forgive all of us when we make mistakes too. That should make you feel very good today. Let's pray. God, thank you for your forgiving spirit. We know we make mistakes. Help us to try harder and always remember you are always with us, ready to help us no matter what we're going through. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to eke out a good time here somehow. It's okay to laugh and smile. Come on, y'all. Play along a little bit. I know I'm losing y'all, but I'm not gonna quit trying. This is who I am. This is kind of a song, and you can tap your toe to it if you're really feeling like getting out there. Okay. While here on this earth, I travel, seem like I'm a stranger everywhere, but up to heaven I will go. Be no stranger to the angels, for I shall know as a heathen I'm no one. Sometimes I feel so sad and lonely, be contented anywhere. But someday soon I'll go to heaven, I know I'll be left home when I get there. Little Mississippi saxophone. Now we're warming this bunch up, Doug. Yeah. Our microphones were turned off or something. No, that's enough of that. All right. Now what do we do, boys? Oh, I know what.
Early in the morning.
Yeah, this is a good one. We finally broke out our singer, Brian. That's funny now. Regret not laughing at that. Please turn the recording off whenever I talk. There we go. We love you guys. You know that. I've been going to this church a long time, so I can be myself. If you're a visitor, I apologize, but I'm 100% in here, so okay.
It was early one morning, just about to break the day. The angels came. Down.
ain't no grave hold my body down. Ain't no grave hold my body down. No grave, hold my body down. Ain't no grave, hold my body down. Ain't no grave, hold my body down. Word trump is down. Get up. Ain't no grave, hold my body down. Ain't no grave, hold my body down. Ain't no grave, hold my body down. Oh no.
I have to follow that. Wow. We've come to a time in our service, the throne room doors have been opened. Do you agree? And it's time for us to lift our prayers into our Heavenly Father's throne room. On the back of our bulletin, you'll see the names, Janet Brandt, Clifford Smith, Becky Flynn, and Larry Brown. I will tell you, Larry is on hospice care right now, and I've got to visit with him this past week, and we, Pastor Mary and I, have been seeing him every other day. So yeah, just keep him and his family, please, all of these in your prayers. I know we have many, many prayer needs going on. People that are just sick, people that may be sore, people that need jobs, people and families that are just hurting. Asbury is no different from any other church. We have all of that. So let's keep our church family as well in our prayers every single day. Let's go to the Father in prayer, please. Glorious God, we thank you for the ability to lift our prayers and petitions to you this morning directly into your throne room. We can only do this because of what you have done for us and nothing of our own. Grace abounds where you are present. This morning, we ask you to be very present and for you to cover your children in your grace. Father, we praise you with our actions and with our words, but there seems to be even more when we're singing our praises to you. Our souls are lifted, our hearts are filled, and together your church lifts its voices into the heavenly realms beyond our understanding. May we never take for granted the power of our corporate voices as we join them together to sing praises to you. Lord, be pleased and be blessed by our songs, our gifts, and the teaching of your word today. May all we do bring honor to you, your Son, and to your Holy Spirit. We pray all of this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. As the lights are coming up and our ushers are coming forward, just remember, we don't have to walk far to know that we are a blessed people. God takes care of us. There are many people out there who do not have even a tenth, and I don't say that in any certain way, of what we have. Turn on the TV, see things going on in other countries. If you've ever been, you will know we are a blessed people, and we are a blessed church, and we need to share our blessings in accordance with God's word. Let's pray and ask God to bless this morning's offering. Heavenly Father, thank you for being a gracious God. You bless us in so many ways, and yet you ask so little of us in return. May we give from our hearts and give in accordance with your holy word. Bless these tithes and offerings to the glory of your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Riding on the cloud, shining like the sun, and the trumpet call is your voice. It's your jubilee, and not a sigh until salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh, and these are the days. The word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's your jubilee, and not a sigh until salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God.
Baker, thank you very, very much. Ben, thank you. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, as we open your word this morning, help us to open our hearts and open our minds and our ears, not to the words spoken by man, but to the words spoken by you. Father, let us hear your voice this morning. Let us hear it with our whole heart. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Years ago, I used to write training programs, educational programs, and books on executive-level leadership, principles and practices. There was one course that a friend of mine and I, that was my coworker, we wrote. It was called Supervisory Management Institute, and it was the pinnacle of state training. It was a huge book, and it was the three-month-long course. There was a video that we used at the beginning of that course. And the topics covered in this course, listen closely, the mismanagement of agreement, not the management of disagreement, but exactly opposite of that, effective communication, and leading versus managing. Well, this course was kind of centered around several videos, but we began it with one that was called Leading the West Point Way. And it was about how the military academies develop leaders, not just managers. It started out, if you attend a military academy, specifically the one as in the film, the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, you enter as a freshman. Your job is to listen, watch, and learn. That's it. That's your first year. Now, if you survive that first year and you come back in your sophomore year, you're given one person to lead and to train and to help and to mentor, one person. Now, in your junior year, if you survive that sophomore year, you're given somewhere between 7 to 10 cadets to lead and to develop and to help them all along. And then when you get to be a senior, you're put in charge of leading anywhere from 15 to 20 to 30 to maybe 40 cadets. And then there may be so many people that you have a staff of cadets to help you. Cadets don't enter the academy year one and start leading 20 to 30 other cadets. It just doesn't happen that way. That's not it. There's a specific way that leadership is taught. Listening, learning, and then only leading. It creates competent, caring, and humble leaders who in turn develop leaders of the same type. This morning, I'd like for us to look at another so-called military leader and my favorite character in the Old Testament. I could go on for hours. Me? Nope, we didn't lose me. Okay, I'm getting a head shake. But I promise we won't. Joshua. You know, he went through a similar process as those who attend the military academies. But as Miss Lita said this morning, as one of the young ladies said, that's a long time. Joshua's in training for 40 years, not for 4 years. But then again, he was going to lead a nation and not just 20 to 30 people. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you to turn to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, we're going to begin chapter 1, verse 1. And you see it there on screen if you can read that. There's a lot on a couple of slides. I just pray that as I prayed earlier, that you hear God's voice and that these find a special place in your heart. You hear them with new ears all over again and are blessed. Verse 1, and we're going to go through verse 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all of these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all of the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The word of God for the people of God. Wow. Before we start to dig down into the life of Joshua, I would like for us to look at a map. Now, this is going to astound you possibly, but it's the map of the land that God had promised, not just the land of milk and honey that we've all heard about, but all of the land God had promised them to Abraham and his descendants. There it is. You start in Alexandria there on the left-hand side of the screen, and you follow the Nile River down to a point below what is present-day Aswan Dam. And then all of a sudden you turn east, and you go all the way over to the point in Kuwait, modern-day Kuwait, where the Euphrates and Tigris River that have joined in Baghdad, they follow down and empty into the ocean, into the Gulf, the Persian Gulf. From there go north and follow the Euphrates River, a river named, and it's been named that since biblical times. You go north, you go through Syria, and you end up in the Mediterranean Ocean. All of that land was promised to Abraham and to his descendants. If the nation of Israel would have obeyed the commandments that God had given them through their leaders, all of this would have been theirs. The leaders of the Hebrew nation, from Abraham all the way through Moses and now Joshua, had their challenges. It only took 3 days. Get it? 3 days for the nation of Israel to turn on Moses and start griping about their situation. Why have you led us out here into the desert to die? 3 days. Then they begin to reminisce about, oh, how good we had it when we were in Egypt. Parentheses, in captivity. Yeah. So fickle, they turned. It was during this time of wandering in the wilderness, during these 40 years, that God had his next leader of the nation already picked out. And he was a good one. When Moses set out 12, if you remember the story, at the beginning of this 40 years, Moses sent out 12 scouts, so to speak, in true military fashion, sent them out in pairs. They all came back. And remember? Oh, we were like grasshoppers to them. They're so big. They were so afraid. 10 of them said that, except for two, Caleb and Joshua. As a matter of fact, it was Caleb that, if we read in Scripture, says, let's go get it right now. God promised it to us. It's ours. Let's go take it. Caleb and Joshua were the only two scouts, those people that went, that ever saw that land again. Why? Because they trusted in God's promise. The other 10 did not. They died in the wilderness because they were afraid. First, let's look at how Joshua was chosen. How he was chosen. Moses trained Joshua for 40 years. Before his death, he called Joshua before him and his people. If we look at Deuteronomy, we turn one book back and look at Deuteronomy 31:7. It says, then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all of Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. That's a pretty good charge. Pretty clear as well. In front of all of the nation of Israel, the baton was being passed from Moses to Joshua in true fashion. He was transferring his authority to this new leader of the nation of Israel. Now, following this meeting in front of all of Israel, God summoned Moses and Joshua into the tent of meeting. Into the tent of meeting. And it says, the scripture tells us, a pillar of the cloud of God's presence was, and it was during the daytime, was in front of, at the entrance into the tent of meeting. They entered. And God commissioned Joshua as the new leader of the nation of Israel during that meeting. Some people say, and it's in Bible studies, they say, well, Joshua was just a meek leader. He was just so meek, and he really didn't want to lead. That's not at all correct. Joshua was one of the most humble leaders that history has seen. Let me just ask you this. How often do you change jobs and you walk in day one and you know everything there is about that job that you need to know? Not going to happen, is it? We have to learn. We have to be trained. And the only one that really has our back is our boss or the hiring manager. But I've even seen instances where a person that's being hired was being forced on that supervisor or that leader. And that didn't turn out too well either. We need to feel supported in our positions. Joshua had an uphill challenge leading a bunch of whining Israelites that have gotten in good practice for 40 years of whining. Just look at who his boss was, though. What a hiring manager he had. The only way Joshua could fail is if he didn't obey the instructions given to him by his boss. And considering who that was, think about this. It was also hard for Joshua to hide any mistakes that he was making from his boss. That's called full disclosure. God chose Joshua, though, as ill-prepared as Joshua thought he was. God chose him anyway, and he made Moses' predecessor. Humble Joshua was now to follow Moses. There's an old saying, and we've all heard it. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called, right? That's so true today as it was in Joshua's time. What would it be like? Just think about this. What would it be like to have a boss when the day one that's going to stand right beside your side, right here, and walk with you and teach you, help you to learn, to kind of steer you through the path of that new position all day long and let you learn? That'd be pretty good. But while we might think, oh, wait a second, I don't want my boss standing right beside me, walking with me, watching me make mistakes all day long. Because we're only leading a few people, right? Or maybe in some of your jobs you have a staff that you have to lead, not an entire nation. Not Joshua. Joshua was alone. He was alone in all of this, and he didn't have a staff. I just read from Deuteronomy 31:7. The next verse says, verse 8, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." Wow. This is what God's promise to him was. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. God promised Joshua that he would go with him and not leave him, no matter what he was going through. No political games in that leadership group. No hidden agendas. There was one purpose and one mission statement, if you will. Go and take the land I have promised to you and your ancestors. That was the mission statement. Those are pretty good marching orders, if I say so. We all wish that things would just be that plain in our daily lives. It would make it a lot easier. But like Joshua, like God told Joshua, we shouldn't worry when we get up of a morning about what the day was going to bring. What are we going to face today? We shouldn't worry, because God has promised us as well. He will never leave us, and he'll never forsake us. It's in his word. It's his promise. Knowing that, we should be bold. Bold in our Christian walk. If we're following our heavenly boss's instructions, he will not let us fail. Period. Did you pick up on another aspect of verse 8 as I read it a second ago? God not only promised Joshua that he would equip him, he promised he would lead him as well. God would be wherever Joshua was going. He would be right here, but he's also going to be wherever Joshua was heading. That is the example of John Wesley's prevenient grace. God is already wherever we are going, waiting on us to get there. This last Sunday night, I taught on John Wesley to the confirmation class, and I told them about the different types of grace, specifically prevenient grace. That prevenient grace is kind of like a cabin in the woods that we're going to go take a trip to. We know it's there because we've been told it's there, but we've never been there. Now, when we arrive, the cabin just doesn't appear out of thin air. It's been there, and it's been there waiting on us to get there. That is prevenient grace. And that's what God told Joshua. I will lead you, Joshua, and I will be there waiting on you when you arrive. What an exciting thought for us as well. There's so much that we can discuss about Joshua obeying God's instructions to the nation. When they crossed the Jordan River at flood stage, as they were instructed, the water stopped flowing from that point. It kept flowing on downstream. But the scriptures even tell us that it piled up, upstream, literally piled up, and caused the water to go back upstream as far away as 20 miles. 20 miles until the entire nation had crossed. They built an altar at Gilgal out of stones, 12 stones that they took out of the center of the Jordan River. And they named it Joshua's headquarters for all of his campaigns to go out and to take the land from the people occupying it, the land that God had promised them. Remember, Joshua even met a man as he was going to the city of Jericho. A man standing there in his way with a sword drawn. Joshua asked him, "Are you for us or are you against us?" The man's response is, "Neither. For I am the commander of the army of the Lord. And now I have come." Some believe that this was an angel, specifically an archangel. But most scholars think that this was Jesus himself standing there, because he told Joshua, "Take off your sandals because you're standing on holy ground. Where else have we heard that?" Joshua did so, and he listened to the instructions given to him, and he conquered Jericho. As long as the nation of Israel obeyed God's instructions, they were successful. But when they didn't, they floundered. They floundered. God had told them specifically, if you read on after our scripture this morning, you read, God has given, told them, do not take any idols from the people you conquer, nor adopt any of their religious practices. That didn't work out, and that didn't stay in place very long. When they lose sight of God and they start focusing on some of the practices inside that conquered land, they failed. Joshua did not fail God. Let me make that point very clear. Joshua didn't fail God. The people of Israel failed God. How often do we know what we should do in a given situation, but we don't do it? How do we feel when that happens? But let me also ask you this. How often do we do the right thing in a situation, when we know the right thing to do. How does that make us feel? God tells us to love Him with our whole hearts, our whole minds, our whole bodies, and our whole spirits. That's the greatest commandment. Do we do that? Sadly, I have to tell you, I fall short of that every day. God also tells us to love our neighbors, ourselves. Do we do that? I stand before you and admit, I don't do that like I should. I need to not only start loving people the same way I love myself, I need to start loving them more than myself. Me. God has given us some clear instructions for us to follow. He knows we fall short every single day. But we live under a new covenant, praise God. We don't live under the law. Jesus said that He came not to do away with the law, but He came to fulfill the law. And He extended forgiveness and grace to anyone who would accept it. That's the covenant that we live under. Praise be to God. God chose and He trained Joshua. God equipped Joshua. And He led him wherever he went and was already where Joshua was heading, even as much as meeting him on the road to Jericho. Joshua obeyed God even when he didn't feel like he had the wisdom or the skills or the courage or the abilities. He obeyed. He obeyed. Moses told Joshua, standing before the nation of Israel, Moses told Joshua, remember, in Deuteronomy 31, 7 and 8, be strong and courageous. It's no coincidence that God also told Joshua three times, as we read this morning in today's scripture, be strong and courageous. Second, be strong and very courageous. And third, be strong and courageous and do not be afraid. Don't fear. That must have made Joshua feel pretty secure in following God's orders. Can we feel secure today? God's telling us, just like He told Joshua, be strong and be courageous in all that you do. If you are doing what I called you to do. My only question to you this morning, I usually have several, but this is the only one that I have. Are you doing what God is urging you to do? If so, and I hope so, and if you are, just like God told Joshua, be strong and be courageous. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Pray with me, please. Father, we thank You for Your word, and we thank You for the man, the example that we looked at this morning, and he was just a man, Joshua. He didn't rely on his own strength. He didn't rely on his own skills and abilities. Lord, he relied on You. Help us, Father, to stop relying on ourselves and to rely more on You every single day. Father, help us to seek You with our wholeness. And Father, help us to love our neighbor, not just as ourselves, but more than ourselves. Father, mold us and make us into Your will. And we know that we can't go wrong if we allow that. Help us to seek You, Lord, today with our whole spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is just my question to you. We have prayer rails here at the front. If you'd like to spend time in prayer, you're more than welcome to come forward. And if you want somebody to pray with you, it'd be an honor to do so. Just grab me by the arm. I'll be right here. If you're here today and you want to join with this faith family, and it is, it's a faith family. We are family. Then again, I'll be right here, and we will welcome you into this faith family, whatever appropriate way it is. If you'd like to just pray where you're at, ask God, Lord, what do You want me to do? I want to seek Your will, not mine. Let's all stand, please, and be in that frame of mind as we look to God's Spirit to lead us and to guide us.
Well, thank Randy Dennis, who's been up here for 4 hours, helping us pull the music together. Thank you, Randy. This is a song that you probably never hear again in church, but when you begin to follow Christ, you find in your daily life that ordinary things begin to speak to you in different ways. So when you hear the words, I hope they speak to you.
You're feeling nervous, aren't you, boy? With your quiet voice and impeccable style. Don't let them ever steal your joy and your gentle ways to keep them from running wild. They can kick dirt in your face and dress you down and tell you that your place is in the middle when they hate the way you shine. See you tugging on your shirt, trying to hide inside of it and hide how much it hurts. Let them laugh while they can. Let them spin. Let them scatter in the wind. I've been to the movies and I've seen how it ends, and the joke's on them. You get discouraged, don't you, girl? It's your brother's world for a little while longer. We gotta dance with the devil on the river to meet the stream. Call it living the dream. Call it kicking the ladder. They come to kick dirt in your face, to call you weak and then displace you after carrying your baby on your back across the desert. I saw your face behind your hair, and you're looking tired, but you don't look scared. Let them laugh while they can. Let them spin. Let them scatter in the wind. I've been to the movies, and I've seen how it ends, and the joke's on them. Let them laugh while they can. Let them spin. Let them scatter. The movies that I've seen how it ends, and the joke's on them.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you all so very much. This is, it's been great. It has. I feel like we should now build a fire in the fireplace and get some hot chocolate and just kind of curl up in a blanket, and that's how relaxing it's been today. It has been wonderful. It's wonderful to see everyone here this morning. We've got some empty chairs, but we've also got the confirmation class gone, so that's where they're at. I just pray that you have a wonderful week this week. Remember, God is with you. He's right there beside you. And he's already where you're going. That's exciting. That's exciting. Please bow your head and receive this blessing. Father, we thank you that you're everywhere. But the best place of all, Father, is the Holy of Holies inside of our hearts. That's where you reside with your Holy Spirit. Help us to never forget you are with us. You're inside of us every day. Help us to become more and more like you, having the mind of Christ. Focus on your Son, and everything else around will just become a blur as we do. Father, we thank you for this morning. I thank you for these, your people, your children. And Father, cover us with grace this week until we can all come back together next week and praise and honor your name. In Christ's name, I pray all of this. Amen.